T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We'll see. Thank you, Dave.
You bet.
Ian McNulty joins us now, as he always does on Friday. Great way to wrap up the weekend. He covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. How you doing there, Ian? Where you at,
bro? I'm doing great, Tommy. I'm doing great. I like your prediction, too. I like the sound of that. In fact, I have a scenario that I believe is the way that, I'm hoping is the way the 49ers make it to the Super Bowl. They can pass the Rams. I think it's going to be a really, really tight game. It's going to come down to whoever has the ball last. And then when it looks like the Rams have the whole thing in the bag, the refs will miss a really blatant call, like maybe pass interference. And it'll totally turn the game, and it will be remembered with great savoring glee here in New Orleans, if nowhere else.
I like the way that plays out. It would be like the what is the name of the stadium, Tim? Tell me in my ear where the Rams play. It would be the SoFi no call is what it would be.
And in New Orleans, it would be the no call, no care, because them's the breaks.
Yeah. It was interesting to hear Sean Payton talk about how, you know, Eli Apple mentioned and said he was pulling for him, but not as much as Joe Burrow. And he also mentioned that he was hoping the Rams would lose, just being honest, which I thought was pretty candid. Speaking of Sean Payton, you know, he talked about some of the restaurants that he liked. And I was just wondering, would you see him out and about eating at restaurants as you were out?
I've seen him occasionally, and it's one of those it's one of those funny things. You know, New Orleans, I think we pride ourselves in being kind of cool around celebrities, like being like, yeah, look, they enjoy our city. That's great. You know, let them have a good time. I mean, yeah, this, you know, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie come to town, there's a bunch of gawking. But, you know, I think in general, the tenor here is a little cooler than, like, if big-name people are walking the streets of Beverly Hills. But the caveat is people tend to flip out when they see Saint Stars, and, of course, the coach. But I always thought of, you know, treated respectfully. And, like, the restaurants just love it. I had an opportunity a couple of years ago to do a story specifically on the Saints and the culture that the team built around restaurant outings. And, talked to a bunch of players about it, and they had it broken down by player position. You know, Drew Brees would take out the offensive line. The special teams would all go out and do their own thing. Mm-hmm. Different defenders would get together, and they would make these group outings to different restaurants. I mean, these guys eat very well. We'd go out in these groups and look for, like, private dining rooms that looked steakhouses. Turns out the special teams guys, you know, this is back when Morstead was part of that, they love sushi places, you know, they would all go out for sushi. But every once in a while you would see this. And again, you know, you're trying to be respectful that the guys have their outing, you know, you need to swarm them for autographs. But just, you know, on TV it's one thing. When you see the Saints offensive line sitting down in La Boca Steakhouse or something like that, you know, you understand the scale of the human beings you're talking about when they're just no pads, no helmets, just shoulder to shoulder and, like, dwarfing everything in the room. Pretty impressive. But it was a nice part of Saints team culture that they had built and involved the city's restaurants in a way that players told me was different from other teams they played on. That, yeah, you would go out to eat and go to big expense account places, sure, but they really tried to get into, like, the New Orleans local restaurants, not just the big name luxury chains. I thought that was cool.
You wrote a piece over the during the week about a place in St. Rose, and you have a picture, And you can find y'all, you can find it at NOLA.com, Ian McNulty, of a hamburger that looks like probably the best looking hamburger I've seen in a long time.
This is a great outing, Tommy. A buddy of mine called me up. He said, look, St. Rose Tavern, they've been closed since Hurricane Ida. The St. Rose Tavern is in, it's actually in New Sarpy now, in St. Charles Parish, and between Destrehan and Norco. You know, that's an area that really took the brunt of Ida. And so this tavern, it's known for its po' boys. It's really known for its atmosphere and its family feel. It's a family-run place. The family lives in the restaurant, and like a residence behind the restaurant, really old-fashioned. Been closed for almost 5 months after Ida, the reopening. Hop in the car. Let's take a River Road ramble. You know, we had the day off, actually. We meandered our way up River Road. We thought we were going for lunch, Tommy. We stayed there for like 5 hours.
Really?
We sampled a couple po' boys. We're sharing. This is the way I like to do it anyway. You know, you order a couple things, cut them up, split them, share them, take a little time, kick back. You know, we thought we would be more or less in or out, but just every time the door opened, it seemed like a different story walked in. You know, these regulars connecting with the place. It was the first day back. And this is the kind of place that could easily disappear. I mean, it would be totally plausible for people to throw in the towel after, you know, this point of the pandemic, and then, you know, having the building so severely damaged by Ida and having to struggle back, and, you know, so little resources available to them, but so much heart in the business. And you saw that just reflected in all the people who would come in, you know, pull up their favorite chair at the bar, get their corner table, bring their kids with them like they used to do. And you just saw these traditions getting passed down and this place coming back to life. And, you know, we stayed and, you know, we had another root beer, ordered another po' boy, and we started looking around at what the regulars were ordering. Now, St. Rose Tavern is well known for its roast beef po' boy, and it's a fantastic one. But we kept on seeing people order these hamburgers, and these things came out. And you're right, if you take a look at the picture, it just is an all-American burger. It's thick, it's shredded cheddar, it's on a Leidenheimer loaf, so it's got that crusty, bun, Leidenheimer buns. It's got that crusty po' boy-like bread texture to it on the bun. And we had to have one. Okay, let's put an order for that. And then we see somebody order this house special, a customized special. It's the hamburger patties with the roast beef debris on the po' boy loaf with grilled onions and American cheese. And I look at my running pot and then I say, Ian? He says, yeah, let's do it. That's why we're here. So once more to the breach. This is like sandwich number five at this point. And I'm glad we did, because it was this combination of the gravy and the griddle. It was warm, it was crusty, it was cooked just right, and it was just the greatest finale for this day that we had spent getting to know this restaurant, St. Rose Tavern, and getting to know why it was so meaningful for folks. I mean, the place has been around since the 1950s. It had to relocate from its original home in St. Rose once they lost the lease to the building there. And came back to life in this old country store just across the levee. I mean, it's the setting for a country music video or a John Waters movie or both. I don't know which, but maybe a blend of both.
It's one of those places, Ian, if you have somebody from out of town, you want to give them the real deal, show them the real local deal, that's one of them. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about dim sum. I think that's how you say it, right? Dim sum. And also a Pelican Club, in case you're looking for something a little on the upper edge of the dining scale. Ian McNulty joins us every week Friday morning for food and drink in New Orleans. If you have any questions or comments, please text them to 504-260-1870. And I'll pass them along. I'm Tommy Tucker. We'll be right back on WWL. It is 9:24. We're talking to Ian McNulty, as we do every Friday morning, about eating and drinking in the Crescent City. And I want y'all to get involved. And I'm getting some texts that are coming in here. Can you please ask Ian about everywhere? Wait, I know you can get them everywhere, but who has the best hot muffaladas and roast beef po' boy? Boy, that would be a knockdown drag out over that one, huh?
Yeah, I know. Let me constrain myself to the muffaladas, because that is a question I've been getting a lot lately, since Central Grocery is out of action temporarily, but for quite some time, thanks to Hurricane Ida, probably the end of the year before they can get back open. And that's, you know, the best known name for muffaladas, certainly. But, you know, I love Norjo's in Old Metairie. I think they make an awesome muffalada over there. I love the French Alada. That's the hot muffalada. That's your your hybrid between a po' boy and a muffalata that's at Liuz's on Bienville
Street.
That's
one of my favorites.
On Bienville Street.
That's one of my favorites, right. Ian. I got to tell you, that is right up there, man.
And I can't think of the muffalata without thinking of Napoleon House, which, you know, it's down in the quarter. Yeah, it's on the map for tourists. Man, they have mastered the muffalata. The crew that's running the kitchen in there now, they redid the muffalata. The bread that they're using is fantastic. They stack it up high. It's a distinctive version for sure. I mean, no lack of great muffalatas out there, but those are three to put on your list. And for a hot one, the French alata.
Yeah, you really want to start a fight talking about whether a muffalata should be heated or not. I think it should. You think probably not?
I can see both sides of it. I don't mean to be coy, but, you know, sometimes, you know, what's the weather like, you know? Like, I don't want a cold muffalata. I want a room temperature muffalata where things have tempered, you know, the cheese and the meat, the oil, it's all flowing. I don't want a muffalata right out of the fridge. And then, you know, having a hot muffalata, that's pushing some of the same buttons as having a great pizza calzone. In fact, a place I've shouted out recently, Fiorella's, they also have a really good muffalata, and they have what they call a stromboli, but to me looks more like a muffalata with just different ingredients worked in there, Italian sausage, green peppers, cheese. That's a good one to try, too.
All right. Somebody wants to know about the Mosquito Supper Club, which I had to double check because I didn't know if he was making a joke about getting bitten by mosquitoes or not, but apparently it is a real place.
Oh, it's the real deal, Tommy. Mosquito Supper Club is uptown. It's a restaurant that's structured in more of a it's not order off the menu. It's here's the menu we're serving. It's a set menu. The best way to come at that is to go with a group. You know, you're sharing the table. You share everything comes out family style. And it's the true cooking of down the bayou, South Louisiana style Cajun cooking, you know, bayou Cajun cooking, very specifically Chef Melissa Martin. She's from Sauvin. And this is just an unvarnished take on what it's like to eat with Cajuns down the bayou. And she has a great cookbook by the same name, Mosquito Supper Club, that's out there too.
And what was the Metairie restaurant you mentioned for muffalatas?
Norjo's Import Company. It's that. It's more of a market than a restaurant, but it has a deli where they turn out great muffalatas and actually really good Italian sandwiches of all sorts. Their meatball hoagie is off the charts. It's a fun place. They have a cannoli king cake there, too, if you want to try that. Ooh. That's in Old Metairie just by the tracks.
Let's talk about dim sum, because I'm fascinated by this whole concept. I don't know that I've ever had it. But you can get it here in New Orleans, right?
Sure. If you like dumplings, you know, if you go to a Chinese restaurant, the first thing you want is dumplings, you're going to love dim sum, because that's where dim sum starts. It's just this whole range of dishes and a style of service that is, I can see some purists wincing when I say this, but an easy way to understand it if you've never had it is small plates or tapas style, right? It's all these small plates that you circulate around. The best way to go is with a few people so you can try a bunch of things.
So wait, they bring them to you? Is that how they do it? Like in San Francisco and that kind of stuff? Or you order?
Well, there is that style, kind of a very famous because it's such an appealing idea. They load up these dim sum carts, the staff will wheel them around the dining room, and you just look at the cart. They're like an airline beverage cart, right? And they're stacked with all these plates and all the dozens and dozens of different dishes. And you say, okay, I want that, I want that, I want this. And, you know, there may be something different on each cart as it goes around. And you sort of, you know, they put this under your nose. And like, yeah, of course you want to try it. It looks so good, and it's right there. It's so easy. There's one place that does that in New Orleans, which is Panda King Fine Dining over in the West Bank. But my understanding is they're not doing that right now. They're just doing order dim sum off the menu out of COVID concerns. But
so the restaurant you wrote about is
no,
what?
This is. The restaurant I wrote about this week is called Dian Xin, and it's in the French Quarter. It's very popular. No carts here, no dim sum carts. Just order off the menu. The waiters, waitresses bring it to your table. And the reason that they're in the news is they're opening a second location a little later this year on Exchange Alley, Exchange Place formerly, in the French Quarter, which is actually just a few blocks from their original location, which is on Decatur Street. But as my quarter rat friends have pointed out, one side of Jackson Square and the other side of Jackson Square are different neighborhoods, different dynamics, different flow with the downtown and the hotels and stuff. So it should be interesting to see how two restaurants doing dim sum in the, from the same family, same restaurant, really, manage in the French Quarter. But as a very, very popular place, it's won a great following for dim sum lovers and Chinese, just traditional Chinese food aficionados in general.
Let me talk about the Pelican Club, which some people think is a private club. I know, and it's not. But for people that are just your average New Orleanian and they want to try the real five-star places, where would you send them this weekend, and what would you suggest they get?
Well, let's mention the Pelican Club because I did write about that this week. You know, so much in this coverage has fallen on, unfortunately, places closing up shops and beloved places. Plenty of places opening, too. But I wanted to spend some time at places that have just endured, you know, and just managed to make it happen and keep consistent. And that's the Pelican Club. I mean, Richard Hughes, the chef, he opened it in 1990. It's been around for quite some time. You know, it was the same year that Emeralds opened, the same year that Bayona opened. And it's, to me, going back there, it brought me back to the heyday of the 90s, not in a throwback or outdated way, but in a way that made me appreciate, like, okay, this is what these guys introduced here in the 90s. They're still going strong. This is a culinary style that was sort of born then. It's Creole for sure, with a little gentle edge of fusion. It's upscale, but it's still very New Orleans. I love the bar there, just to pop in for solo or just with a buddy and eat at the bar, a little less formal. And they're masters of the special menus. They do a great job with culinary and Revion. And right now they're doing what they call a Mardi Gras menu, which is, it's just a set price, three course menu, which is basically the entire menu. It's everything that they cook. They just divide it up into three courses. And you may have to pay a little extra for this dish or that dish. But the meal I had there was fantastic, Tommy. It played out through scallops with artichoke leaves, a rack of lamb crusted with herbs and mustards. When you break apart the shell, the little bits of that break off and get into the creamy mashed potatoes, and you see the rare, medium rare, as I ordered it, lamb within, the color of Cabernet, just delicious. And then a classic pecan pie with chocolate sauce, whipped cream, and a couple berries for virtue on top. And right there, that was boom, boom, boom. It just reminded me of like falling in love with New Orleans dining in the very beginning, back in the 90s. And just to have them right there in the middle of the quarter on that picturesque exchange alley, it gave me a new appreciation for what they do.
And quickly, for people that want to try some five-star dining and they're not foodies and they might be intimidated to go into one of these places, they want to serve you, right? They want you for a customer, so you don't have to talk about that a little bit, if you will, Ian.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's New Orleans is different, you know? I mean, the idea of a five-star dinner destination, one of these exclusive restaurants in other cities, yeah, there can be a pretty high intimidation factor. It could be months out before you can get your reservation. You sort of almost have to petition them to get in and be served. Mm-hmm. But for as fine as the cuisine ever gets in New Orleans, and I would put some of these restaurants up against anywhere, it's still New Orleans. It's New Orleans people who are your waiters or your bartenders or running the floor, your managers. And it's just a normal, natural level of friendliness and engagement. That's the kind of the secret sauce for New Orleans hospitality all over, in my opinion, whether we're talking five-star or mom-and-pop Greasy Spoon. A couple places, I mean, Emeralds, they reopened this fall after a long hiatus. And when they did, they seriously revamped the menu and brought a much more refined, kind of world-class approach to the cuisine, tasting menu, fantastic service to go along with them. They've upped the ante on what they do there. There's, of course, Restaurant August. That's a place that's aiming for the top tier. Windsor Court Hotel, the Grill Room. I know they've been trying to make some moves there to rise to the par of the other places I mentioned. And Restaurant Revolution now in the French Quarter at the Royal Sonesta, that's another place that's aiming very high. I mean, you can go, these are places you go for the full show, right? Like, this is, you can go to upscale neighborhood restaurants and drop a pretty healthy chunk of change, but it's, you know, it still feels like, oh, we're in a neighborhood bistro. The places I just mentioned are all, they're going for that high service luxury standard.
Ian, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it as always. Hope you have a great weekend and stay warm and do some good eating.
That is a guarantee. No matter what happens, win or lose in these football games this weekend, we're going to have some good food on the table and we'll be thinking about everyone out there. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you. And drinking. Don't forget about that. Ian McNulty covers food and dining culture for the Times, speaking to you, New Orleans Advocate. When we come back, we're going to talk to an BetQL insider and run down the games for you this weekend and try to get you some good picks. We're going to be talking to You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Costas. When we come back, 9:36, 24 till 10, traffic now on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.